WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively into football season. It's really here. Training camp opening this week. Luke Jones will be in Owings Mills. We'll be taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road next week. All of it presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'll be giving away these Show Me $10,000 tickets all month long. We're going to start things at Conrad's over in the Joppa. Yeah, between Lock Raven and Pairing in the Towson area, we're going to be at the Conrad Seafood Market where you can get the seafood seasoning, just like I'm holding right here. I may actually get some crabs on day one as well as a crab cake. Our friends at Goodwill bringing the truck by to take care of all your summer cleaning. Make sure you're donating to them and our friends at Window Nation. I got my new windows coming in here in about 2 weeks. Looking forward to that as well. Luke Jones has a window into the soul of all things purple and Owings Mills here is... you know, the Ravens, the nervousness of Lamar not showing up at OTAs and all the bad guys in the media like me, you know, how dare we actually talk about the football team. But the apologist out there, you know, the media was saying Lamar wasn't going to. No, Lamar never made it clear Lamar was going to show up. I'm not still sure Lamar is going to play on September 11th without a new contract. I don't know what he's going to say, what he's going to do. I do know that he's here and it looks like we're going to have a normal football season, right? I mean, after all the speculation and whatnot, is he going to play for $23 million this year? So far, it looks that way.
Yeah, I mean, and that's where I've kind of been on this thing all along. From the moment he showed up for mandatory minicamp, and even though, as you pointed out, he didn't directly answer the question as far as would he play without a deal and kind of gave the I don't know, which, as I said at the time, I thought was still more of a rote response because he was just being peppered with questions and he wasn't trying to really say a whole lot about his contract, which, you know, is his prerogative, but people were going to wonder then. But my thought all along was if he showed up at mandatory minicamp, you know, that to me was a signal that he's going to play. And we saw him show up early in Owings Mills, and we'll see how this plays out with him and who else is out there and isn't out there. You know, not expecting any contractual reasons, but the Ravens have placed a number of guys on the PUP list to start camp, which was not surprising. I mean, it's the big question. We know that Eric DaCosta and Lamar Jackson had conversations at mandatory minicamp. It seems as though it went well enough that there's been at least some dialogue since then. Is that going to be enough to get a deal? Time will tell. You know, you still go back to the Deshaun Watson deal. You see what the Kyler Murray deal means for Lamar, at least in terms of average annual value. I mean, whatever the Ravens were or were not offering a year ago is pretty irrelevant now when you consider how the market has changed since then. It really does come down to, does he want a fully guaranteed deal or not? If he does, and that's well within his right, Deshaun Watson got it. Lamar Jackson certainly is deserving and doesn't have the off-field problems. And we've gone over that over and over, but you know, whether the Ravens are willing to acquiesce and to do that at this point in time, or if we're going to continue to have a stalemate, who knows? Time will tell. But you know,
the
this
Kyler Murray thing was much uglier in Arizona from a us against them, and it got done right.
Yeah, but I would also say Kyler Murray is not as accomplished as Lamar Jackson. I mean, Kyler Murray is not a league MVP. So you know, from that standpoint, you look at what he got, which in terms of average annual value, a touch higher than what Deshaun Watson got. Now, he didn't get the same guarantee. And that's where if I'm Lamar, I'm looking at this thing and saying, okay, I'll do what Kyler Murray did, but give me more guaranteed money or fully guarantee it, you know, if we're going to make that argument. So, you know, that's where we wonder how close they could be. You know, will we see a deal at some point here in the next few days or the next few weeks or before week one, or will we be talking about the franchise tag six months from now, I guess, roughly. So, you know, it kind of is what it is. But at this point, I'm expecting him to be on the field and to practice and get ready to play because, you know, that's all the Ravens can expect at this point in time. You know, if he wouldn't show up or if he does a hold in kind of situation, if you remember what TJ Watt did with the Steelers last year, showed up at the facility to avoid fines, but didn't practice right away. You know, we'll get to that if it gets to that point. But you know, as it stands right now, he's shown up. You know, he looks to be in good shape, looks to be ready to go, and they'll get going for preparations for 2022. And we'll see if a deal gets done in the meantime.
Well, the first thing everybody will realize about him, if you've seen a picture, is he looks 15, 20 pounds heavier, right? Like he looks thicker.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and he even said as much. I mean, he was asked about that at mandatory minicamp, and he flat out said he's in that kind of 10 to 15 pound, increase as far as his weight. And to be clear, we're not talking about a Leonard Fournette situation where, you know, there've been some talk about what him being 250 pounds or whatever, going into camp. This is, you know, it looks to be good weight, you know, muscle, and, you know, you hope it doesn't have any impact on his speed. And I'm sure his trainers and him were cognizant of that. You know, very clearly they know how important speed is to his game. But, you know, we've talked about it in terms of taking hits, and, you know, certainly took more hits from the pocket last year than you would have liked, which was on the O-line more so than Lamar himself or you know, running or taking hits in that way. So, you know, if this is a case where, you know, he's a little more durable to, you know, a little more, you know, strong, you know, a little stronger to take some of that, then great. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So we'll see how it plays, but certainly something that he did as far as altering his body a little bit. And will be interesting though. Maybe, you know, probably training camp's not going to be the best gauge for that, because clearly guys aren't going to hit Lamar Jackson during practice, and certainly not expecting to see him or any of their veterans in preseason games after what happened last year. But, you know, I think that is a fair question as far as him being a little bit heavier, a little bit stronger, a little more muscular. Does that impact his speed in any way? Which I'm not saying it will, but I think it's a fair question at the very least. And, you know, we'll see how that plays out as we get into the start of the season.
I think you talk about where it's going to be 6 weeks from now, where preseason games are going to be, what we're really going to see in these preseason games, which I would think from John, not a lot. I would think it would be, of all the years preseason, where there's lower expectations for what's going to happen on the field and who's trying to earn jobs, you're going to put your 12 points out again and again here through August. Let's start at the beginning here before camp. Other than Lamar and contract, right? Let's assume he's upright, he's healthy, mm-hmm. he's Lamar. Okay, so great. We got a quarterback, whether he's making $20 million, $50 million, whatever he's making, he's going to be fine. He's upright. There's no question as to whether he'll be throwing the football this week from a physical standpoint, from coming back from injuries. I mean, a third of the roster, a third of their starters had pretty nasty injuries last year in various ways, for whether it's the Gus bus, whether it's either running backs, the corners as well. What are you looking for here in the early going of these sweater days, as LeRon McClain may have put it years ago? But you're going to be out there sweating. It's going to be 100 degrees. What's going to get done there the next 2 weeks to your eyes?
Well, and I think that's what's tough, especially through the lens of some of the injuries that you talked about. You know, are we going to see those guys early on? I mean, we know that the Ravens placed Ronnie Stanley, J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, Marcus Peters, Tyus Bowser, which I think that's one to watch just because he popped his Achilles on the very last game of the season. So that was, what, January 9th. So, you know, where is his timetable? You know, David Ajabo, who technically wasn't placed on that list because he hasn't signed his, you know, his second round rookie contract. There's been a little bit of a hold up with some of the second round picks because a couple of the deals that were given out there. But, you know, he'll sign, but he's going to start most likely going to start the season on the non-football injury list because he got hurt at his pro day. But, you know, you kind of just go through those guys and, you know, who are you going to see early in camp? I would think, you know, with Ronnie Stanley, as much as, to your point, you're not going to see these guys in the preseason games. I mean, it was kind of trending that way anyway. And, oh, yeah, the LA Rams, who are coming off of a Super Bowl win, I think it's been four straight summers that Sean McVay has not played his starters at all in the preseason. So guess it works out, right? I mean, certainly not something that's so detrimental that you can't win if you're not going to play in the preseason.
Well, they all get together at the owners' meetings. You know, I was down in Palm Beach, and I didn't get a chance to ask Steve Bisciotti because he blew me off, didn't want to take questions from me. But it'd be interesting across all the ownership that they get together, they put these games out, they sell these tickets, that they say, we have to play, we're going to play or whatever. And then it comes down to the Belichicks, the real coaches in the league, Tomlin, the guys that really run the league. They're going to say, no chance. No, I mean, there's no chance I'm going to do that. And this is going to be, I think over the next couple of weeks, it's always this way with preseason. But when you're not playing anyone, it's one thing to say the Rams did it and won the Super Bowl. If there's a dozen teams that take that on, what that's going to look like for the league in doing these games. And I mean, these games have always been a sham. They were a sham. Yeah. When my dad took me out to see the Vikings in 77 when the Colts were here, right? I just wanted to see Fran Tarkenton run around. So my dad took me out there to see Chuck Foreman and the Purple People Eaters. I remember that. My dad's like, it's preseason. Why do you want to go? I'm like, it's the Vikings, Dad. And my dad would say, well, the Vikings used to come here every year back in the 60s. And I'm like, so, you know, seeing these preseason games, I'm trying to figure out the vow. I mean, I've got a crab cake tour. I'm coming back. I'm going. They're always awful. How awful will they be if no one plays anywhere?
Yeah. And I think, I mean, look, from a season ticket holder standpoint, from people who are actually paying to go to the games, it's certainly problematic. And it's nothing new. You know, we've talked about it for years. I mean, we were talking about that in the 90s.
We were talking about that before we had Ravens.
Right.
They were the Browns.
Of course, of course. I mean, what, you know, I guess other than what the Saints and the Dolphins go in the Memorial Stadium, which, well, you know, there was buzz, cool, but that was for a different reason, right?
On a tour in a couple of weeks, I'm going west, and I found one of Stedman's books in a bookshop. Great place out in Hancock, Maryland. Buddy Lou's Diner. So I'm going to go back and see if Stedman's book there. Stedman was writing about preseason games being a disgrace to the league in the 70s. So, you know what I mean? Like, this is going, I'm just wondering at some point, yeah, if 5 years from now, if there won't be such a thing, if we're going to get to that point, because I think we're heading in that way if the coaches aren't going to play the players.
Yeah, I think where you still take some pause in making that prediction, though, is go take a look at what the TV ratings will still be for the Hall of Fame game, which has notoriously, we haven't seen starters in a Hall of Fame game. And, you know, you might have to go back to the 90s. I mean, maybe, you know, Troy Aikman played a few snaps in a Hall of Fame, you know, like going back to that era. But go look at what the rating is now. Is it a rating the same way of week 11? You know, a primetime game? No, of course not. But is it a rating that does better than whatever baseball game or whatever else is on that night? Yeah, it still draws. And, you know, we talk about that and we make fun of the USFL and the XFL and all these spring football leagues. And look, they don't do NFL numbers, but, you know, people like watching football. And even if it's backups, even if it's rookies, even if it's guys that are fighting to make the team. So from that standpoint, I hear what you're saying, and I'm not even saying that I think you're wrong per se, but I still look at the television ratings and I look at their slate of national, you know, these preseason games that'll be nationally televised, like the Ravens going out to Arizona.
Oh, Kyler Murray versus Lamar. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Nobody.
Or the Marquise Brown revenge. Well, wait a second. He's probably not playing in that game. And the Marlon Humphrey probably won't play in that game. And Marcus Peters certainly won't play in that game coming back from the ACL. So, I think there's still value to these preseason games from a, you know, internal standpoint and looking at some of these rookies, looking at position battle guys, you know, guys that are, you know, for example, you know, Ben Powers is entering his fourth year, but he's a fringe starter right now, guy on the bubble. You know, he'll play in the preseason. Guys like him play in the preseason. The young guys will all play, but you're right. The established starters, why would you at this point? And the Rams have been a perfect example of why would you? Because they won a Super Bowl. So, and they haven't done it for years. So it is tough in that way, but at the same time, there are still plenty of players you are trying to find out about and you are wanting to see what they look like in a live game setting. So from that standpoint, I'm a little more hesitant to agree. You know, not that you were saying that preseason games will definitely go away, but at the same time, people still tune in, even for these lousy backup infested games. You know, from a, you know, casual viewer standpoint, how lousy they can be, people still seem to tune in and watch. I mean, talk about this with the Pro Bowl every year. You know, we kick off Super Bowl, we complaining about the Pro Bowl every single year, yet go look at the TV ratings they do for that. Now, it's not doing playoff game or regular season game numbers, but it's still doing good numbers relative to everything else that's on TV. So from that standpoint, the networks might say, well, yeah, you know, your season ticket holders might be ticked about this, but go look at the number we just did for this still, and the ads we're still selling for this. We don't want it to go away. So, you know, from that standpoint, we'll see how it evolves over time. And certainly, I mean, go back 2 years ago, there were no preseason games because of the pandemic. And, you know, they still ended up having a very representative season. You know, some outbreaks aside here and there, obviously.
Yeah, Penn State and Nebraska have been doing this for 65 years, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But I, But at the same time, if college football suddenly started saying, hey, we want to do preseason games, they'd sell them, you know, then and people would go and, you know, they'd probably make some money off of it. So much of it is, you know, it's still rooted in tradition and the way they've always done things. But at the same time, as much as people complain, they still tune in and watch. You know, we've talked about that with the Pro Bowl for years. Chris Pike has said that to you and me for years and years now as we make fun of the Pro Bowl. People are still tuning in to watch. Whatever that is that you're watching, people are tuning in for it. So, you know, from that standpoint, we'll see. But, you know, to bring it back to the Ravens specifically with these list of injuries they have, for me, it's not about the preseason games, but in a case of someone like Ronnie Stanley, he's played one game going back to November of 2020. Since then, you know, November 1st, 2020 is when he injured his ankle and he played in the Raiders opener last year. I'm not at all suggesting he needs to play in preseason games, and he won't play in the preseason games. I'd put money on that at this point. But he's missed a lot of football. And with some of these guys, they've had such a long layoff. No, it's not important for them to be on the field on July 27th or August 1st or maybe even August 5th. At the same time, you don't want it to be August 28th either. You know, you certainly, some of these guys are going to need some time to knock some rust off. In the case of Ronnie Stanley, I think, you know, last year I wasn't as concerned about it, you know, and he ended up started practicing, I want to say it's somewhere around August 15th, just off the top of my head, you know, and you know, that gave him 2.5-3 weeks to ramp up.
And he didn't make it a quarter, literally. Right.
Right. So my thought is he's going to need time to get back into football, you know, not that he's out of shape, but football shape and just taking reps. And a big part of that is also, how does he respond? How does the ankle feel to that? You know, same thing with these guys coming back from ACL injuries. I think, you know, there's always that difference. And we kind of think about this in a pass fail way where you say, okay, a guy's healthy enough to play or he's not playing, when we know that there's a wide range of outcomes there. You know, I've talked about this a lot with talking about the running backs, and Dennis and I have talked about this as well. I mean, you know, I think everyone wants J.K. Dobbins to come back and to be the guy that he looked like at the end of his rookie year, which, you know, he's averaging 6 yards a carry, looking like a guy who had a great chance to make the Pro Bowl last year. And then he suffers a pretty substantial knee injury, you know, to the point where, you know, despite him kind of taking some issue with an NFL Network report, you know, there is some question as far as how ready he's going to be by week one. And I always say there's a difference between healthy enough to play and healthy enough to thrive. And that's where the question is with guys that are coming back from an ACL or an Achilles. You know, someone like Marlon Humphrey, torn pec, he'll be fine. You know, he was fine in the spring. I don't think there's going to be any lingering impact there whatsoever. Lamar Jackson with the ankle bruise, he'll be fine. You know, that's not something that it has a long-term ramification for it, right? It's not something that you would think is going to hinder him long-term. You know, so those types of injuries, no problem. And those guys have already gotten back on the field and they took part at least in part of spring workouts. But when you are talking about Marcus Peters, who is 29, you know, and coming off of an ACL injury, you know, I mean, I remember Ladarius Webb coming back from an ACL and being healthy enough to play, but he was never really the same guy.
Jimmy
again.
Smith after Lee's Frank, he might have gone to the Hall of Fame if not for that, right? Yeah. We talk about all of these guys, right?
Right. Like, I mean, they're
all really, really, really good, and they're top of school until an injury changes things by a half a percentage. At that position, at 29, you get blown away. You really do.
Yeah, I mean, and again, that's not to say he won't come back and be really, really good and be the same player, but it is, you know, it's not 100%. I mean, as much as we've seen incredible advances in medicine, I mean, look at guys coming back from Achilles injuries faster than ever. Right? And, you know, so from that standpoint, yeah, you're optimistic that Tyus Bowser could be ready week one, but is it going to be pre-injury Tyus Bowser, or is it going to be a guy that it's going to take some time to get back to where he was? And to your point, we have such an appreciation for these guys as athletes, but if they're just off just a little bit, you know, just, you know, a few tenths of a second speed wise, or their agility isn't quite the same, or their flexibility isn't the same, you know, in the case of Stanley with his ankle, let's say the flexibility, you know, the range of motion isn't quite what it was 3 years ago. You know, that can be the difference between a guy being a Pro Bowl player and being average or worse than that. And I'm not saying that to be gloom and doom, but it is something you have to recognize when you're talking about so many key players coming back from injury. As much as there's excitement and optimism and on paper, hey, I'm picking the Ravens to win the AFC North. I'm not down on them. However, when you are talking about these serious injuries, last year was a great reminder. At this time last year, we were talking about the Ravens getting Ronnie Stanley back, and we were talking about them getting Nick Boyle back at some point during training camp. Neither one of those guys, you know, Stanley literally only played one game, and Nick Boyle, he played, I think appeared in five games, was a non-factor, a shell of what he previously was. Now, you hope those two guys are back, and certainly I like their odds much better this year, having another year removed from the injuries, but there's always that thought of my guy's going to come back and be Adrian Peterson coming off the ACL, right? I mean, we all remember that crazy MVP season he had where, you know, this guy just, you never would have known he hurt his knee the previous, December, I think it was. For every example like that, there are many more, like Saquon Barkley last year, for example, who, okay, he was back from the ACL, but he wasn't the same guy. And, you know, I mean, we all remember Jamal Lewis comes back 0-2, good, but he wasn't the guy he was in 0-3. So it takes, you know, took him another year to really get all the way back. So, you know, that's where I just do take a little bit of pause as far as, you know, kind of thinking about expectations, you know, optimism, all those different things. And that's not, I'm not saying this to be pessimistic. It's just, it's part of the equation as far as what this team's going to look like. Of the six, you know, five or six guys that are coming back from serious injuries, are all six of those guys going to come back and be their pre-injury really, really good or great selves this year? You know, the odds probably say at least a couple of those guys are going to be a lesser version of themselves. And, you know, hey, that doesn't mean the Ravens can't win that way. You know, they, you know, 2012, they had a slew of injuries, but it is something to remember as you're trying to survey this. And, you know, I guess to, you know, go back, you mentioned what I'm expecting to see the first couple of weeks. I'm probably not expecting to see too many of these guys on the field, you know, the first couple of weeks. I think you'll probably get into August until you really start seeing some of these names that I mentioned, but, you know, it will be a little more difficult to gauge because we're not expecting to see them play preseason games, you know, any of these veterans really playing that are established. So there will be some unknown there, but you know, the good news with most of these guys, other than Bowser and Ajabo, which I, you know, that's one reason they went and re-signed Justin Houston, right? You know, it's one reason they could probably still stand to add another edge guy because of their timetable being a little bit shorter. But the good news for Dobbins, the good news for Gus Edwards, the good news for Marcus Peters, the good news for Ronnie Stanley is they have had lengthy periods of time to rehab and recover. So time is on your side when it comes to these injuries. So that's where you're looking at it through a more optimistic lens and say, okay, J.K. Dobbins, it's been 11 months since he tore his ACL. Gus Edwards, you know, 10 and a half months, you know, close to 11 months since he tore his ACL. Same with Marcus Peters. So, you know, Ronnie Stanley had he had that latest ankle surgery in October, I think it was, you know, so, you know, you're talking about guys who've had a long time to rehab. So you hope that brings a better prognosis for 2022, because let's face it, we're talking about some guys that are going to be really important to their success one way or the other. So you want them, of course, on the field, but you want them to look like their respective pre-injury selves. And again, that's where there's just going to be some unknown until we see them out there working, moving around and seeing how they're really practicing.
Luke Jones will be moving and practicing real game coverage here as we have a couple of preseason games coming up beginning week after next against Tennessee Titans. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour is going to be out on the road. I'm going to have these Show Me Lottery tickets in the Maryland Lottery I'll be giving away, as well as our friends at Goodwill and our friends at Window Nation and the Restaurant Association of Maryland. We're beginning the tour on Monday, August 1st. We're going to do 31 crab cakes, 31 breweries in 31 days throughout the month of August, including a re-release of Purple Rain 2, which begins this week. We still won the Super Bowl, and the pictures were great. The videos were great. It was actually a lot of fun. I did Purple Rain 1, which feels like a long, long time ago with Goose. Seeing the pictures and the videos that I shot of Joe Flacco winning in New Orleans and you there, we both looked a little younger back then, but you can go check out Purple Rain 2, re-releasing it with video, audio, new pictures, never before seen stuff, and sort of brought to life much more so than a traditional book. Chapter one comes on Wednesday this week. You can find me, Nasty, at WNST.net. You can find Luke probably in Owings Mills, Luke at WNST.net, as well as at Baltimore Luke. And together we're going to continue to cover the Baltimore Ravens. Some folks in Owings Mills say we don't cover the team anymore. Oh, contraire. We'll have a good time with that all year long. I will be headed to New Jersey, the swamps of Jersey, not just for Springsteen on September 11th, taking on the New York Jets. So we're 6 weeks out on real football. We got real baseball happening all week. Luke's going to be down at Camden Yards as well for the Rays series. Big week. It's football season. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Chicken Palooza and Royal Farms and our friends at BaltimorePositive.com.